Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. Would you look at this? We have a full house.
We're back, baby. We're back.
Lots to get through, lots of voices to help us do it as well. And it's not just the crew of Shaka, Stevie and Ale. We've also got Jules and Jan along for the ride as well. A little later on, we'll be hearing from Zlatan Ibrahimovic. Oh. Because Gab and Jules caught up with him. But we will start with the news that Mohamed Salah has been voted Player of the Year by the Football Writers Association. It is the second time since 2018 he was also named that, but he was named ahead of Kevin De Bruyne and Declan Rice as well. I'm not going to go to Stevie. I'll go to him in a moment. Shaka, right choice.
Yeah, I think given Mo Salah's contributions in the league, I understand the debate for Kevin De Bruyne, given City's own successes so far this season. But more times than not, if it's a close call, the fall goes to the striker. Mo Salah, given who he continues to be, it's a hard argument not to make.
Would you say it's the right decision, Stevie?
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, the game's about goals at the end of the day. That's why we play, is to score goals. Everybody wants to be that guy. And this guy's got, 22 goals in 31 games? You can't argue with that. So,
that's
absolutely.
I didn't play to score goals.
Well, you would have failed miserably.
I'm not sure that that's relevant here.
There's always the exception.
Maybe that's why I didn't win it.
And just to clarify, it is in England. It's the Football Writers Association. What's the reaction been from what you've seen, Jules, over in England?
Really positive. I think we pretty much all agreed that Mo Salah was the outstanding winner, really. I think he got 50% of the votes, which is very rare, trust me, in this vote. All the journalists that are affiliated to the Journalist Federation, Sports Federation, if you want, in the UK can vote. And you vote for your top three, and I think there was never in doubt that it was not going to be Mo Salah. Of course, you can make a case maybe for Kevin De Bruyne. I think Sadio Mane is a bit lucky not to be in the top three. I understand Declan Rice is English, which I think helped a lot for him to be third, and he's having a wonderful season with West Ham. But he's not the third best player in the league this season, let's be honest here. So I feel a bit for Sadio Mane, but I think Mo Salah, without a doubt, is a worthy winner.
Are you allowed to say who you voted for, Jules?
Yeah, Mo Salah, yeah. I didn't think about Mane, to be honest. But I've seen so many moments being in the stadium this season covering the Premier League of Salah just having touches of geniuses. Obviously, the two goals against Watford and City, who are the goals of the season. The pass from Mane against City in the return fixture. All those moments, even when he was not scoring after the turn of the year, after the disappointment of AFCON, even when he was not scoring in those games, he was still doing something special. And he's a very special player, so he deserves it completely.
And do you not think they should wait till the end of the season before voting on this?
Don't tell the English what to do, Kay. I mean, they got tradition. They do this before the end of the season. Of course they do. But they could have waited for that, but wouldn't have stopped quarrelling about it anyway. I think Salah, just by his numbers, he earned a right to win that. And he's also that little extra. He is an artist. He's unbelievable, entertaining to watch. Traditionally, when you see these awards, the defenders and the goalkeepers, hello, Shaka, they are never up there in those awards. I would like to see Virgil van Dijk there. I think van Dijk is unbelievable. One of the best. Well, maybe the best defender of his generation. And Rice can't even win against Eintracht Frankfurt, can he, Shaka?
Right, before I get Ali's thoughts on this, what do you think of Declan Rice being there in the top three?
I have no issue with it. I understand Jules' point that maybe he's not the third best player in the league, but I think, for me, I always look at team performance. And I know we're talking about an individual award here. But West Ham, again, exceeded expectation. And you could even make the argument that more than anybody else. Everybody expected City and Liverpool to be in the top two. Nobody expected West Ham to be in a Europa League semi-final and getting the better of Eintracht Frankfurt over two legs. So from that perspective, you could make the argument that Declan Rice, as the standout player, I know there are a couple others in Bowen and Michael Antonio, but Declan Rice certainly is the one who's getting all the headlines. Why he's on the list, or he's on the short list?
Any problems with the top three list there for you, LA?
No, my problem is with the question that you asked, Jan. I don't understand how we vote on something well ahead of time, well ahead of the end of the season. Who's to say that both of these players go on and have outstanding ends of the season? But what if one of them is significantly better than the other and that guy's team goes on to win the title? Then shouldn't that put you over the top? When we talk about the Ballon d'Or, and we, Lord knows that we talk about Ballon d'Or more than we should. Well, one of the things that we use to differentiate players is, well, he won the Euros with Italy, or he won Champions League with Chelsea. In this case, we cannot even use that. You can't say, well, he won the title with Liverpool or Manchester City. It makes absolutely no sense from the outside looking in. It makes absolutely no sense that you're voting on something when the season hasn't finished just yet. See what the outcome is going to be, and then from there, see the full performance and the length of performance from both players, and then go on and vote whichever direction you want to go.
Stevie Nicol won this award back in 1989. We've got no complaints about that.
Tough competition. Oh, man,
you're looking into my eyes.
Oh, you went so that there. Photo alone.
We'll change the bet.
What? I played against Stevie.
Absolutely. I couldn't believe when I went to the dinner. There was a dinner the following year after I won it. It was the 50th anniversary of the award. And the players that were there when I grew up watching. And I'm sat at the table and I'm thinking, I'm sat next to these guys. Dave Mackay's and Bobby Collins. I mean, I'm throwing all the Scottish guys in, but, you know, players like that. And I'm sitting there going, I'm sat next to these. That's no bad.
It's telling that Stevie wins this award and his takeaway memory is dinner.
Yes.
And that you had to wait a year.
Yeah. Yes. Can't believe I went to dinner.
You know what you should do?
Go on.
You know what you should do is whoever wins it, Jules, at the dinner when they get the prize, they should do the Masters. Pick the meal. That's what they should do. Wow. I can have everybody eating mince and
tart. That's a good idea.
Turnips.
I've been to some of those dinners in London. And I'm surprised that Stevie Nicol remembers anything, to be fair, when you see these awards. But I played against Stevie at that time, and we can have a go at him. But Stevie Nicol, he was a tough guy to play at. So I think at that time, he would be our Salah, and we would all say, yeah, great choice. Stevie Nicol should be there on the top.
Thank you, John.
You can come around for dinner at Stevie's anytime, Jan.
Jan, you've come to the wrong show, Jan. That's not what we do.
He's definitely picking what's on the menu, all right? Let's move on to talk about Ralf Rangnick being confirmed as the new coach of the Austrian national team. We talked about this yesterday and whether it would happen. But he will be remaining in his consultancy role at Manchester United on a part-time basis. Now, Mark Ogden, as he was talking about it yesterday, has tweeted about it today and said there's no way that Man United will be outsourcing a consultancy role to a guy who is managing an international team, despite what Rangnick may be saying. It's like Gareth Southgate spending 2 days a month telling PSG how to run their recruitment. Jan, do you agree with Mark? Oh, hang on, there's more. But if Man United think there's a workable way forward, they will never catch Liverpool and Man City. With that added on, Jan, do you agree with Mark?
Well, Liverpool, they have a song called 8 days a week, and this guy is not going to be 6 days a month at Manchester United. That is point one. And what is interesting for the development here, the Austrian FA, they went to England, a former teammate of mine, and we got a hint of that. And we talked to the people in and around Rangnick. No, that won't happen, because I guess at that time, he was still a candidate to be the next manager for for Manchester United. I can't see this happening. I think that the Austrian FA has done a good job getting Ralf Rangnick. I think he could help the Austrian FA to develop the association and the national team. But this seems like a thing that is just been made up as we go. I think there is no chance that we're coming into August when Ten Hag will come in and say, well, we have two news for you. News number one, you know that guy, Ralf Rangnick, that everybody says can do anything? He will be still here. Oh, I can use him. Or now only 6 days a month. This won't happen. I think this is just preliminary, and we will find some way that he won't be the consultant to Manchester United. Having said that, they need some consultants at Manchester United.
What do you reckon about this, Stevie?
Well, I'd actually like to ask Jan a question. So, Jan, have the Austrian officials been watching Manchester United since he got the job? Or is this just to do with not so much actually being the manager of the team as much as organising what goes on with the youth development? Is it more that? Because there's no particular reason why you would get Rangnick as your manager after what he's done at United.
No, but he won't get a job at Austrian FA because of a job he's done at Manchester United. And you also know that to define the role as being a national team coach is much more different than doing it day to day. And I think for a small, no disrespect to the Austrians, but a small FA at them, Ralf Rangnick got the knowledge. Ralf Rangnick got the overview of how you develop football, and he hasn't ruined that after some months at Manchester United.
Meanwhile, it looks like Chelsea are going to have that new owner, that they are going to be chosen. Not confirmed yet, but it does look as though it's going to be the consortium led by the LA Dodgers co-owner, Todd Boehly, who's been chosen as the preferred bidder. Jules, Chelsea fans will just want to know, though, is he going to be spending as much money as Roman Abramovich did?
Yeah, that's the big question, really. We know that in the bid that they all send in, so the three remaining, the three finalists, if you want, Todd Boehly and his consortium, of course, Stephen Pagliuca, and then the Lewis Hamilton, Serena Williams, Lord Coe, and Sir Martin Broughton bid. There was obviously, they presented it in a way of what they promised to do, and in that, with Todd Boehly especially, there's promise of investing heavily in the club for the next 10 years. We saw today Sir Jim Ratcliffe, who owns Nice, the Nice team, who for a long time had tried to buy Chelsea. He's one of the richest men in the UK, and made a really late bid, too late, I think, to succeed, and that's why Todd Boehly was also confirmed today, I think, on the back of that. But he also promised to invest heavily in the club, but that came too late. And I think Todd Boehly, for a long time, had been the favourite. Remember, he was the first one really to go in, to build his consortium. He looked very serious. He came over a few times to London as well for talks and discussions and all of that. So I don't know if he will spend as much money that he did with the Dodgers, for example, although they're two very different sports, but he built a pretty prestigious team in Los Angeles in terms of baseball. So it would be interesting to see what the feeling is amongst Chelsea fans if that gets confirmed. And we expect a confirmation that he's the chosen one, maybe on Monday or maybe Tuesday from Rennes Group.
And you wonder if the chosen one will be watching Chelsea in action in the FA Cup final against Liverpool. You can. That game is here on ESPN Plus Saturday, May 14th. The FA Cup final between these two sides. Liverpool still in the chase for a quadruple, and this weekend Liverpool will be taking on Newcastle, Manchester City will be taking on Leeds. Just a look at the title odds here, and you can hear us talking about both of those games across the weekend here on ESPN FC.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Real Madrid need just a point against Espanyol this weekend, and they will claim La Liga's title. Sevilla behind them in second right now, but Barcelona will be hoping to take that spot from them. That game between Real Madrid and Espanyol have full coverage for you. Ian and Maka will be on the call. Alexis Nunes, Sid Lowe and Pablo Sabaleta pitch side, and Alejandro Moreno and myself.
Right. Yep, you know it and you love it.
We're going to stick with La Liga because there's been a lot of talk about the future of Robert Lewandowski, Jan. Is he really going to Barcelona next season?
Well, he wants to leave Bayern Munich. And you remember I said that here on the show, 15th of March. I checked it out. He wants to leave because every day he read in the paper that a Norwegian should replace him. And now Bayern can find themselves in a position that they won't get Haaland and they will have a very frustrated Robert Lewandowski. And there was a meeting today with his agent Sahabi and Robert Lewandowski and the guys from Bayern Munich. It was a good meeting, as they say, but at the end of the day, he still wants to leave the club. And Bayern Munich said either he extend his contract or we sell him, but now they say he will stay anyway. So this is to be continued. I think that Robert Lewandowski and his family would like to. He's 34 this year. This will be his last chance to play somewhere else. And Barcelona and the town of Barcelona is not the worst place to go, is it?
Well, not bad at all. And not the bad place to go to catch all La Liga's games this weekend on ESPN+. As mentioned, Real Madrid will be taking on Espanyol and can win the title in that game at the Bernabeu. Barcelona, for their part, taking on Mallorca on Sunday. All of these games available on Plus. In PSG's first game since becoming Ligue 1 champions, they took on Strasbourg away from home and ended up a game that finished 3-3, even though at one point PSG did have a 3-1 lead. Anyway, there's been a lot of talk about Pochettino and what he's been saying about his future and Mbappe. He said that we'll be 100% coming back next season. Carlo Ancelotti said to that, well, sometimes coaches don't tell the truth. Anyway, before Friday's game, Poch said, I said, me and Mbappe will 100% stay at PSG next season. No, I was talking about the present. Jules, what's going on here?
It's Mauricio Pinocchio, not Pochettino. I mean, he tried clearly to, you know, go with a punchline on Thursday in his press conference, and I was listening to it. I can tell you exactly that he said, we will both be here 100%. Today. So he added the today, which didn't make any sense. We asked him about next season, and he said, yeah, we will be here 100%, i.e. next season. And then he said, today. And we were like, what? So that doesn't make any sense. So basically, the today just went a little bit out of the window. So after all that created, Ancelotti taking the mic, clearly, and rightly so as well, calling him a liar, today he thought, that's no good. Let me backtrack a bit. So he said, like, I said that we would be there next season. But I said we would be there, you know, today in the present, which again doesn't make any sense. I mean, if you thought the season could go worse than what it already was, well, thanks to Mauricio, it keeps getting better and better. This is the gift that keeps on giving. It's wonderful. They scored a lovely second goal today, 18 passes, 50 seconds. Every single player touched the ball. But they were already in the Maldives on the beach on holidays. And Pochettino can't get it right either. The communication has been dreadful from the start of the season up to now.
Another gift that keeps on giving is the fact that you can get the Gab and Jules podcast twice a week. Now, you may remember...
Did you say gift?
Gift, yes.
You've
been listening to it. So you can hear a lot more from Jules on the Gab and Jules show. Make sure to download that wherever you get your podcasts. Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's electricebikes.com.
Another thing you write in your book is that when you're at home, you're not the character the world sees as Zlatan or Ibra. I forget which one you use, but, you know, you are a different...
You can call me God, don't worry.
Exactly. You are not the guy. I get the impression the God in your house is female and her name is Helen. But it's a different...
So far you didn't do any mistakes, so don't do any mistakes, please.
Okay, so Zlatan's actually been speaking about his new book, Adrenaline. Goes on to say it's the ignored stories from his career. Gab referenced the book during that interview and asked Zlatan how he's going to replicate that adrenaline now that he's coming to the end of his career. And this is what he had to say.
I'm in a situation now. I'm close to the goal line, let's say. So I didn't come over the goal line yet. So like I wrote in the book, I'm a little bit panicking because when it stops, what do you do? What is the next chapter? I know there is a lot of possibilities. I know I can do a lot of things. Offers I will have from all over the place. But like I said, the adrenaline I get on the field, I will never get that in something else. So I try to postpone that goalie line. Normally when I play the game, I'm trying to score goals. So I want to pass that goalie line. But for me to take that step over the goal line to stop playing the game, I'm trying to push it as far away from me as I can. But obviously I need to be healthy. I want to be able to enjoy the game. I wanna feel good when I play. When you suffer, you go against all these small things that I mention now, because it makes no sense to play the game if you suffer too much. Better than be realistic and tell yourself it's enough. You did what you did and start the new chapter. But I'm not there yet, because if I already focus on that, it means in my head I already prepared to stop. So if I'm preparing to stop, I'm not able to help my teammates and I'm not helping myself to achieve what I want. So in my mind, I'm not there yet. But obviously, a little bit scared of stop playing the game. I think when you're in the game such a long time, you're like a soldier. You have a program that you follow and every day is repeating. So, and it has been going on for 25 years now. So I'm close to that line, but I'm not there yet.
I'm just taking a look at some of Zlatan's stats, still going strong at age 40. How do you know, Stevie, when to call it a day as a professional?
There's not an easy answer. There really isn't. I guess I can only go by what happened to me, and I began to let myself down and I just stopped. And that was when I knew to stop, because I didn't want to ruin my reputation. I started kicking people. You know, you just do things that are just not you. And as soon as you can smell that, and generally it's other people that see it first, because you kind of have your blinkers on, because you're just one more game, one more season. It's not easy. It's very difficult. And people like Zlatan just become like the rest of us. Regardless of what level you played at, we all end up in the same spot. What am I going to do regardless?
And it gets to the point where maybe it's not as much fun as it once was. Mm-hmm. It becomes a lot more like work. That routine that Zlatan is talking about, now you suffer a little bit more because it takes forever for you to get ready for training. It takes forever for you to recover from injury. It takes forever for you to be able to perform at the level that you think you're still capable of performing, and yet your body keeps telling you, nah, it's not happening. And for all the preparation, for all the hours that you've put in, that struggle towards the end of your career, it's messages that your body's telling you and sending you very clearly, buddy, what you can see with your head and your mind, you can no longer do with the rest of your body. And at that point, when it's no longer fun, when you start thinking about, man, I gotta go to training again, when you first have that feeling and that thought, that's when you know it's just not what it used to be. I'm not what I used to be, and it's time to move on.
I think the hard part about that admission of finding it hard to go to training is when you fully recognize that you can't do the things that you want to do, you expect yourself to do. Your mind, mentally, you don't change. Mentally, you still see the game in exactly the same way, but physically, you just can't do it. And then you start, I'll speak for myself here, you start clinging to little silly things like, if I had a good training session, what did I have for breakfast this morning? Oh, I had two boiled eggs and a bowl of cereal or whatever it is. And now all of a sudden, that's my routine. And I expect that to make the difference. And slowly, as those things, as those two boiled eggs and a bowl of cereal kind of drops by the wayside, and you realize you just cannot, that Father Time really has caught up with you. It's a hard admission to make, but one that ultimately comes to all of us.
And you got to be able to look at yourself in the mirror and have that evaluation, and be able to tell yourself the truth, which is not easy, because for the longest time you've told yourself, I am the best. I'm going to show up today and I'm going to make a difference. I'm going to have an impact. And then you show up and you no longer have the impact. And you start looking at other people like, well, it must be his problem. It must be that guy's problem. It couldn't possibly be me. So taking that good look in the mirror and telling yourself, buddy, it's time to go. That is difficult. And what makes it even more difficult is the fact that you don't know what lies ahead beyond that door that you're now closing. That door that you're leaving behind, and then you open the new door, the new world of possibilities. You don't know what those possibilities are. You knew what your routine was. You knew what your career was, but you don't know what's next. And not knowing what's next is a scary, scary thought.
What about you, Jan?
Well, first of all, I think the boy's doing valid points. I look forward to that Zlatan interview because I think he described it very well, this worrying what you're going to do afterwards. And I think it's a more mental thing that is more physicality thing. You lose a bit your hunger. So if you go down 5%, you get annoyed that you're seeing that you don't have the same level as we used to have when things were going well. Having said that, and I can again speak for myself, I'm seeing a lot of football games. I'm sometimes standing very close to what's happening on the pitch, and I don't miss it. Because I can still remember how much I had to do to try to be on my best level. So for me, it's not like I'm going around and think, oh, I would wish I was there. Yes, I think it was fantastic to see my former club win against West Ham. But I only felt that I would like to be a part of the celebration, not playing against Dawson and the rest of the big boys at West Ham.
Well, Zlatan Ibrahimovic in with a chance to win a league title yet again with Milan. We're going to take a look at the Serie A standings. Milan in control of their own destiny right now in the race for the Scudetto. They take on Fiorentina on Sunday at San Siro. It's one of numerous leagues that Zlatan's played in because Gab also asked him about his time in MLS.
You spent time in Major League Soccer. You were very honest about your assessment, about the good sides, the good aspects of it, and the bad aspects of it. It feels like the United States and football, the football that, as you and I understand it, that's a slow process over time. There's American players coming to Europe. There's others developing in MLS. How did it feel now, all these, you know, after having had these years there, do you feel positive about it?
No, I'm very happy. I'm very thankful for the MLS because they gave me the chance to feel alive. But the problem was I was still too alive. So I was too good for the whole competition. And that is what I showed. And I'm the best ever to play in MLS. And that is not me having ego or trying to show off now. That is true facts. And when I was there, I enjoyed. I had good time. And I like the way they were working, the way they were doing the marketing stuff, and I think the best way for me to come back where I was after my injury was MLS. So I was in the best condition ever, and I'm very proud I played for the MLS because they were saying to me the stadiums, they're pretty empty when you play in that. There was no empty stadiums when I was playing. It was even overbooked, so I cannot complain, and I'm very happy I was there. So you never know. Maybe one day I'll come back. So to show them how, to give them a reminder what real football is. So at least for 2 years, they get to see what real football is. And I think they will never see something like that before. Like that again.
I think your former teammate, David Beckham, is involved with a football club in Miami. So if you're okay with the humidity, why not?
Why not?
Maybe I come back, I have my own club. You never know.
That would be amazing, Ibra. Your own franchise. You'll be the boss. You can do whatever you want then.
I am already the boss. Wherever I go, I'm the boss. So it will not change.
Ali, what do you think about what he said there?
Well, I agree with him that he is the best player or has been the best player in MLS. Thierry Henry was really good when he came here, but towards the end of his career. And I suppose that in the case of Zlatan, similarly, but it just feels like the impact of Zlatan when he came to MLS, I'd only seen that when Beckham came in 2006. And his debut in MLS just created a level and a standard of expectations that we hadn't seen since David Beckham. And that he followed that up with the sort of performance that got people off his seats and the goal that we just saw, you just couldn't make it up. And he continued to be that big personality in Major League Soccer. Now, all the other things that felt like cheap shots at MLS there by Zlatan, I'm not a big fan of, because I don't think there's any need for Zlatan Ibrahimovic to be taking shots at MLS, free shots at MLS. Look, the level of the league is what it is. It is improving. It has a bigger place in the market now than it did in the past, and that has to do with players like David Beckham and Zlatan Ibrahimovic and some of the other bigger names that have put the league in a bigger platform. And with that, I think MLS is appreciative and thankful. But I don't think that MLS and the players in MLS and his teammates would appreciate the way in which he spoke essentially down to the league and about the league.
I saw you screwing your nose up a little bit, Stevie, when you heard a little of what he had to say.
Yeah, I'm with Ali on that. I don't listen, I'm not a fan of bragging anyway. Mm. I think people should tell you how good you are and what you've done without you sticking your neck out and trying to convince and tell everybody how brilliant you are. And there's no question that on the field he delivered. But after listening to him, I'd love to say, why did you go to an inferior league now? You know, anybody with ability can pick a league around the world that they think is inferior and go and look like a superstar. So I'm not a fan of the bragging.
Jules, the chat overall, though, how did you enjoy it?
It was fantastic. It really was good. It was good to spend time with him. He was, for the whole interview, like he was in the clips that we just showed. He was so engaging. He spoke a lot. He spoke about fatherhood and watching his kids playing football now and starting being good at football. He talked, of course, as we heard, about the future. He talked about Manchester United a little bit, PSG as well. We had 35 minutes. We wish we had more, but it was great. There's some really good lines, and he was. I think he was happy. He said he was suffering this season. I think he's been a very difficult season. And the way I read it, listening to him, was like, I think if Milan win the title in a few weeks now, I can see him saying, okay, this is it now. I'm leaving at the top. I've brought this club back to the top of Italian football, which in itself is an achievement. I'm 41 years old, and now I can go in peace and enjoy whatever comes next, because I don't think his body can take another season at the top level.
Well, you can hear more from that chat with Gab and Jules and Zlatan Ibrahimovic on the Tuesday edition of the Gab and Jules podcast. Make sure to download that wherever you do get your podcasts. And there is lots to look forward to in Major League Soccer this
week. Not according to Zlatan.
Yeah, lots of games on ESPN Plus. Nashville against first place Philly on ESPN on Sunday. Make sure to catch these games and enjoy them and those full stadiums.
Hey!
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Got some reactions to the proposed changes in the Champions League. Europe's domestic leagues have asked UEFA to reduce the planned expanded group stage from 10 to 8 games per team and cut the two places based on historical performance.
Wait a minute.
Wait a minute. We've got a bit more as well. There is also I want to do away with the two-legged semi-finals. This is from Martin Ziegler in The Times. Momentum is building for two-leg Champions League semi-finals to be scrapped, with leading European clubs backing a plan to play the semis and the final over a single week in one city, beginning in 24-25. Leading European clubs backing a plan to play the semis and the final over a single week in one city. Alexander Seferin has previously spoken favourably about the idea, with the extra peril of a straight knockout match adding to the excitement. It would ease the pressure on the fixture calendar, given there are likely to be 10 group matches rather than 6 under the new Swiss model format. All right, Jan, what are your thoughts on this? Because it's saying ease the pressure on fixture congestion, but that's because there's going to be more teams involved due to these changes.
Absolutely. So you take with one hand and give with another. I love this scrapping, that they hopefully will scrap this historical thing. I don't like that at all. The number of games, quite neutral to that. Why should we fix something that is not broken, is one thought to my mind. But this football week, I kind of like that idea. We have tried it. We did it through the pandemic without fans. And there could be a way. You will have 4 teams coming there. You will have a party going on in the city for the whole week. I can understand that. And it's in fashion always to turn down what the big international sports organizations are suggesting. And most thing they are suggesting is crap anyway. But the way is that this week, I like the idea of that. I think that could work. And I was thinking, what is the disadvantage for the fans? Would they love to have the one game at home, one game away? Oh, yeah, maybe so. But this could also be a place they could go to, a place, and they could enjoy football together with other football fans.
Yeah, maybe, Jan. But then how do they know how long they need to book their tickets for? If there's going to be 4 different teams going, what about all the hotel space? Don't you have to think of all those factors as well for the fan?
Absolutely. No, we're just talking about the idea and the consequences need to be have a looked at. But although Liverpool has booked their place for the Paris final already after the Villarreal game, I mean, it's not like you can do a lot of planning in that term as well. But I think that it should be for the fans. And that's why I said that, Kay. You have to look at the consequences for the fans. How much will that be different? But there is not a lot of planning in April, May for the best teams and the best fans, or for the best teams' fans anyway. So I think that could be sorted, Kay.
Jules, what do you think about it, what we've seen here, that there could be these two-legged semi-finals scrapped?
Well, I'm a bit torn because I watched the City Real Madrid game like all of us, and I'm like, I cannot wait for the second leg now. I want the full story. I want the first leg at the Etihad. I want the second leg at the Bernabeu, and I want the best of those two games to win and to go through to the final, and deserve to go through to the final. One game, it can go in any direction. It can go anywhere. You could have big upsets, of course, I guess. But I just like this idea of to earn your place in the final. You have to be the best team over 2 games, home and away. But on the other hand, I agree with Jan in a way. I like the idea of that final 4. I like the idea of like a big city and everybody gathers together and have fun together. I'm not so sure about where you play those matches. Do you play the 2 semifinals and the final on the same pitch? Can a pitch do that with, 4 or 5 days apart? So there's still a lot of question marks, I think, and I'm a bit torn between the two.
Any of you guys fancy a festival of football?
Well, look, the idea of the festival of football, I suppose it makes sense to somebody. It doesn't make sense to me because we just mentioned about the effects on the fans. Okay, if the fans are going to be the priority, whatever happened to the electric nights at Anfield and a semifinal of a Champions League? We're not going to have that anymore. Bernabeu, we're not going to have that anymore if indeed we go in this direction, right? Yeah, so whatever advantage you have as a team, in the case of Liverpool, for example, that you're hosting that second leg in Liverpool, or here comes Barcelona, or here comes Bayern Munich, it's a big European night at Anfield, electricity, it's not happening. You may have electricity somewhere else, but it's not Anfield, and it's not that history, and it's not everything that a team like Liverpool would utilize to have that home field advantage that you earn, by the way, okay, that you have in front of you, and that you say, you know what, we take advantage of this because this is what we do. You're not going to have that in some neutral field.
Shaka?
I'm not as averse to it as Ali is. I'm more in keeping with Jan. I don't really have that big an issue with it because we saw how it worked in 2020, I think it was, when the pandemic kicked in and all these games got pushed way back into August or whatever it was. I thought that worked from a neutral's perspective. I understand what Ali's saying in terms of taking it away from semi-final nights from Liverpool. But from a neutral's perspective...
Not just from Liverpool.
Well from who... Well, you were using Anfield as an example. Yeah. But whoever's in the semi-final. But I don't have as big an issue with it as maybe I would have early in 2020 or in 2019 until I saw how it worked. And I understand... My one concern here is that Seferin somehow likened it to the Super Bowl, which is not. It's. I'm thinking, hold on, you've got a good idea here. Don't mess it up by trying to over-explain. Sell it as a place that all of football, or four teams, can come together. In much as and I say that remembering our knowing how international tournaments are hosted in one country and all together. And the effect it has on all those fans kind of occupying the same space, which I like the idea of, I like the experience of, and I feel you can also do that in club football.
Stevie?
Hate it. Absolutely hate it. I mean, you know, we've already seen with the FA Cup that there are special days as a player and as a fan. And for me, the FA Cup has taken one of those special days away. The semi-final played away from where the final is a special day. And it's not always about being in the best stadium or the best facility. It's about the feeling and the atmosphere of the game. And you're taking that away. You're going to play two games in the same place. It's going to end up being like the FA Cup, where you've just taken a chunk of tradition away that actually... to anybody who was lucky enough to be able to do those things at the time, just detest it. And just call me cynical, but there has to be some sort of financial gain.
Absolutely.
For this. Because they don't do anything for the good of the game. Don't give me this. They try to throw in at the end of the statement, oh, and it's less games. As if they're going to go, oh, thanks very much, you're really looking after us. But yet they've stuck four on.
Yeah, well.
So it's no, I hate it, and there's somewhere down the line, this is about somebody getting a few quid in their pocket, as per usual.
You just mentioned the concern about the mention of the Super Bowl. One of the criticisms of the Super Bowl is that it becomes a corporate event more so than a fan-driven event, because the people that get actually into the stadium are those people into the suites, and all those people are corporate. Sweet. These are not real fans. These are not fans of those particular teams. These are fans of the event, to be there, to be seen. Not the true fan that is supporting his team, dying to see his team play.
That's not different from football today, though. I think something like...
Hold on. And Anfield people are going for the corporate experience?
No. What I'm saying is, in big football today, that's par for the course. I'm sure Jano or Jules would be able to correct me, but I think something like 30% of World Cup final tickets go to fans. Football is corporate. That's where we are, and I don't think making this a football week, let's call it, takes away or makes it even more corporate. It doesn't.
I like it.
Takes away 100%.
All right, go on, Jan.
No, I'm just saying that, first of all, I agree with Shaka there. I mean, it's corporate today. Having said that, that doesn't mean that it has to be that in the future. If you have a 80,000 stadium, I guess around 30,000 will go to the fans, and or at least a third will go to maybe the fans, and the rest will be corporate anyway. And I think that we could discuss these kind of ideas. And to our points, I mean, Liverpool would have missed then one game at Anfield that was against Villarreal. Yes, there are pluses and minuses for that, but I think that the idea, you could sit down and talk through that. If the fans, and they should have a voice in here as well, if they think this is a good idea, they should be a part of that as well. And now the European leagues have come in, and maybe they can at least take away these historical places kind of things. And then in those kind of things, we can discuss that. And I wasn't surprised that Stevie said that. Stevie is one of us who has played in these big games, and he knows that feeling to be in a big, big final. That is unbelievable, special. But I don't think that an event like this or a football week is based on only players. It's also what could be okay good for the fans. And of course, this is all about money as well, because they need to take out everything they can in terms of financial support. And this is also, if I may say, then a competition between FIFA and UEFA. They are jealous of their Euros, and they are jealous of the World Cup, and vice versa. And then they try to make new arrangements for the tournaments.
Well, unlike Jan and Shaka, we actually love the fans and don't hate them.
Yeah.
We want to see the best.
Who said that? Nobody said that.
What is it, the best
We are for the people.
This is
to a dragon.
That's where the doge comes
in. If they had it their way, we wouldn't be seeing this.
That's where the doge comes in.
Because
the guaranteed three games, two semis and a final, and the same place, and they can spend a whole year getting all the corporate guys talking about.
That's where your money comes in. Nobody's listening to you anymore.
Let me tell you, we wouldn't be seeing these games if you guys got your way, would you? Because it would already be done and dusted. We wouldn't get the chance to witness this spectacle all over again.
I'm going to take next week off in protest.
So all you want is more vacation time, Shaq. Okay, good.
I'm not watching any second legs. I'm staying home.
All right, guys. For a fourth straight year, we have seen ESPN pick the best under 21 players in the World Tour. Christian Carlsen has put the list together. He actually chose 39, but we're going to hone in on the top five specifically. You can see the top 10 here, but what we are seeing is Phil Foden rated ahead of Vinicius. How do you guys see it, Ale?
I don't see it that way. I think Vinicius Jr. should be higher in this list, certainly above Phil Foden and Bellingham. And the reason I say that is because we have to put into context what Vinicius Jr.'s career has been like. And let's not forget that at one point in his young career with Real Madrid, Karim Benzema, who we consider to be the best player in the world currently, was pointing at Vinicius Jr. and was saying, don't pass the ball to that guy. Do not pass the ball to that guy. He saw it. He heard about it, he read about it, and instead of sulking, he grew up, he matured, and he has become the partner that Karim Benzema was missing. That it wasn't Eden Hazard, that it wasn't Gareth Bale, it has been Vinicius Jr. because of performance, because of goals, because of productivity, and that final product that has improved so much over the last year or so. I think Vinicius Jr. should be much higher in this list, certainly, as I just mentioned, above Phil Foden and Bellingham.
Jules, who are you going for, Vinny Jr. or Phil Foden?
It's a very interesting debate, I think, and Tor said it when we had a little podcast with him, with Gab, the other day. And he also said that this list, always, for all of us, if we were doing one, there's also a lot of your individual preferences. And I think he likes a lot the way Phil Foden plays. I think he's been watching Phil Foden since Phil was a really, really young kid. And maybe that's also played a little part in him being in third place and Vinny in fifth, for example, Bellingham in between them two in fourth. I think Ali is right. You could easily have Vinicius in the top three with Haaland and Pedri. We said to Torb that Pedri could maybe even be higher than Erling on the back of, I mean, they both had injury this season, so it may be difficult, but Tor was saying that a lot of people said to him that Pedri should be the number one right now under 21. It's all debatable, of course. I said to him there was not enough French, only four French. I said, what's going on? Well, four French out of 39. This is outrageous. There's eight English players. I think, you know, there's clearly a very good generation of young English players coming through. There's five Spaniards, three Americans, for example. So we would all have a different top 10. But, yeah, I think you could make a case for Vinny to be higher up.
Between the La Liga players there, Pedri and Vinny, who are you going for?
Pedri.
Why?
Because I think he's a more complete footballer. Vinny, listen, if I'm a defender and you're picking a list here, who do I want to play against the least? It's Vinny. I don't want anything to do with Vinny. But from a football perspective, Pedri, for such a young man, the knowledge that he has and the way he plays is absolutely beyond belief. You know, I still think Vinicius has got a bit to go, almost, just a little bit. But Pedri is so good, but yet can still get so much better. It seems like he's the guy that's going to be up there. So, of the two of them, I love Vinny. I think Vinny's a bit of a throwback. You know, he's running at defenders. And they're all different types of players. As Jules said, it depends what you like.
Yeah.
Like, I would go for Vinny over Phil Foden, because I think Phil Foden's a classic modern-day player who it's pass and move, and he's got a great touch. Whereas Vinny's a throwback to me. You know, loves taking people on. We'll run past you, we'll play a little 1-2s, love scoring goals. So it depends what you like. I love Vinny, but unfortunately, I think Pedri is a better all-round footballer.
Where is Pedri going to be again?
He's going to be up there somewhere.
Wait. Anyway, we're going to let Jules go now because he's got a new star-studded name to add to his phone book. Zlatan Ibrahimovic now.
That must be a big phone book.
And we hear that Jules is going to be here in Bristol, Connecticut in June, which we're very much looking forward to. But we're going to let him go for now. We'll be welcoming Jan back for extra time, though. Go on, Jules.
No, I was just saying, my birthday is October the 4th, Ibra is October the 3rd. So I think we're planning a little joint birthday party together soon. So I'll let you know. I might invite a few of you. Not all of you, but a few of you.
Check out Extra Time over on our YouTube page.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, that will do it for the latest edition of the show, but I did give a little teaser that we have mathematics coming up in extra time.
We're ready.
This man is in for a treat. Join us then. Jan will be with us too. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. We have a full house for you. Shaka, Ale, Stevie and Jan Agafyortoft in some hotel once again. Jan, is it?
Look at the hotel.
Yeah, I'm doing Dortmund tomorrow.
Doing Dortmund.
Look, he's always just in front of some door, isn't
he? He is, isn't he?
For all we know, he could be sat on the toilet.
Oh, your mind reads there. Nobody wants to think of that.
No.
Nobody wants to think that's what Jan is doing.
No.
Even I never thought.
Look at his face. Look at his face.
In what toilet do you find emergency exit instructions?
Do not disturb. Do not disturb sign. Goodness me.
I'll take your door open.
Another question. Why is it always in front of the door? Is there a reason for that, Jan?
Yes, because I need good light, and light by the door is the best in the hotel room. I'm making studios all over Europe, and I learned that.
That's experience, isn't it? I mean, that's pure experience.
There's always good lights in the bathroom as well.
Yeah.
To Kay's point.
I tell you what, your points must be amazing, though. Your hotel points, Jan. You get the upgrades every time, right?
Yeah, to be fair, today I came to the same hotel in Düsseldorf and he said to me, have you stayed here before? And I said to him, I was a bit annoyed because I came from England, I was a bit tired. And I said, yes, I've stayed here 350 times. And he looked at me and said, sorry, there is new regulations on data, how we should store them. And then I felt a bad conscience because I was a bit annoyed at him. But I have some points.
A little snappy. That explains some of the mood today in the show from Jan.
He expected to be recognised, didn't he, at least?
Little angry.
All right.
Exactly.
For Stevie and Shaka, Newcastle have won their last six. Are Liverpool going to have a tougher challenge than many are expecting?
Yes, it's going to be a tougher challenge. But I still think
a 75% Liverpool gets all 3 points.
Well, there's no question that Newcastle at home go forward. And that's pretty much how they've survived, because they've gone forward, right, with the signings. Problem is, do you really want to have a go at Liverpool and open up? I don't think I do.
Since the he's been pulling all sorts of faces.
I was born with his face. What else can do about it?
What can he do, Shad? Yeah. What can he do?
That's not the face we saw earlier in the old Football Writers
exactly
Awards.
Exactly, in 1989.
That face is very different, Steve.
Well, fair enough.
All right.
I like it, Steve. He's happy. He's a happy jolly face.
Always.
You're right.
And it might go some way to explaining my next pick. Since the NFL draft happened last night, Kay, who would you pick as the number one choice to take to a Middlesbrough match and have a Parmo with among everyone on the ESPN FC crew? Now,
Have a what? Have a what with?
A Parmo. The local delicacy.
I feel like you've explained this before.
I'm sorry. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, I'm going to rule LA out straight away because I do not think he'd put it in his body. It is an escallop of chicken or pork covered in bechamel sauce. On top of that, you've got cheese, thick cheese, and then lots of garlic sauce.
You'd eat pork at a football ground.
I was about to say, of the two people over there, the first person you rule out has not eaten that is Ali.
Ali says his body is a temple.
Only one thing goes in that body.
I wouldn't eat pork.
I bet you'd eat the chicken version.
If it was battered and fried.
Yes, it is. And then you have all that on top as well.
Oh, I hope it's me.
And then you have chips and salad, fries and salad.
You better be taking me.
I'm going to make the same face that Stevie made.
Can we get a beer as well?
Of course, especially if you come with me. Okay, now Jan Agafyortov, I should say him, but last time he went, he started making all these demands of the Middlesbrough backroom staff, asking to get his clothes ironed and dry cleaned.
Wow.
He even put the pictures up.
That's why they don't like him at the hotel.
Napping at hotel staff, getting football staff to iron his clothes.
What
a diva.
Can't take a former Newcastle player, can I? So already said mean things about Middlesbrough on the show. So, yes, it is going to be Stevie Nicol coming to watch the Borough with me.
Of course.
And have a palm.
Thanks, Key.
Of course.
You don't want to go to Middlesbrough.
I appreciate
I know. That's why I'm saying thanks.
All right.
I'm being
good decision,
very
Kay.
Sincere.
Good decision.
Thank you so much.
Kay, you can live at my castle, Wilton Castle. You can live there, you know. So
there you go, see. I can't go all big time when I go back to the Borough, can I? So it's me and Stevie keeping it real.
You're right.
All right, Shaka.
Hold on. Huh? What does that mean? You see that fit in with the job?
What are you saying?
You'll notice. I can't see you anywhere posh. So
no, you don't do that.
Oh, goodness. That's what I heard, Stevie.
That's what I heard.
Are you coming or not? Maybe you're in a Parmo.
I can't go upmarket, so I've got to dig Stevie.
He's still coming there.
She looked around and she said,
As soon as I saw the question, I promise you, it was always going to be Stevie.
I'm not proud.
What I was meaning is when...
No, I'm digging, Kay.
All right.
Put your shovel down.
No.
You should have let me keep digging. Because the next question I've been dying to ask you. Shaka, it's awesome hearing you and the whole crew at ESPN FC. You talk about data, algorithms with your power rankings. Mm-hmm. And I was curious, how big is your training data set? Are you using a simple regression, tree model, random forest, or KNN? What were the test results?
And the truth shall set you free.
I used the tree KNN. I've merged the tree KNN model.
Try his 10-year-old
son. That's what we do in Silicon Valley.
How old is your wee man?
Who? Which one?
Yeah, the wee man.
Mylon man?
Yeah.
He's 14.
14?
Yeah.
There you go, there's your answer. Forget all that. That's his go-to.
He's trying to distance himself from my power rank.
Kids
are picking me in school.
He's not
that power rank.
So you've utilized the tree model and KNN.
And KNN.
a blend of those.
Correct. I find that balances off the pros and the cons
of the algorithm.
What about the simple regression? Oh,
no, too simple.
You need a more complex.
Yes.
Something that can withstand the data.
Too much data for simple regression.
Kay, he is a goalkeeper. Have mercy with him.
I thought that was a brilliant question, to be fair. All right, for the crew, would United win the Premier League if they made decisions based on Shaka's power ranking algorithm or Don's percentages?
Shaka's power rankings makes Ranić look like a genius.
What? Well,
let's put it that way.
He uses simple regression. Yeah. I've gone way past that.
I think it might be Shaka's power rankings that would help United more than Don's percentages, right?
No, but I would say percentage, Kay, because when Don gives them a percentage chance to succeed, if they do that in their recruitments and Don will come in with his analyses and his percentages, I think it could go better for them. Absolutely.
No. Yeah, what's the chances of United finishing top four? 50-50.
60-50.
And then everybody would be like, all right, we're good. We've got a chance here. We've got a chance.
Can you explain to me the basics?
So there is
the basics of the tree model.
Huh?
The basics of the tree model. Can you explain it to me in layman's terms?
I've got a home to get to.
What about the KNN? How does that one work?
Well, that is factors in historical data, more to the point. KNN uses the historical data. The tree model filters out the outliers.
Taxi.
With photosynthesis.
Is that who's seeing it?
What?
That no CN.
just go to Borough. Just go to Borough. Oh, have a palm.
We're piling in on you here. Ready? Can you bring back top 10 goals of the week? You can get rid of garbage like Shaka's power rankings. It's a stupid and useless segment that no one cares about. We care about goals, not goalkeepers.
Wow. Oh. Just got personal.
Yeah. That's not nice.
This is
odd that somebody writes in about the power rankings to say they don't care about the power rankings.
Yeah. Exactly.
Keep your mind up. HG?
Yeah, HG.
Hayden Jones.
To figure out they were that bad, you'd have to listen to
you
it.
Have right? to, that's the point. How could nobody care, but you care enough to write?
When I started my career at ESPN, I understand people, Shaq. When I started my career at ESPN, I was thinking your power rankings wasn't that good. But I think now they can change the world. I mean, these power rankings, I look forward to them. I go to every show and I think today, hopefully, there will be a new Shaka power ranking. I love them.
Well, that's... You're maturing, Jan.
I know. I start liking you. Huh?
He's also a good liar.
You did say at the top of the show you do care about goals and not goalkeepers, though.
Get rid of them.
I mean, but now, maybe now that you've explained to Hayden Jones how is it that you get to your power rankings, the utilization of the tree model. I think maybe
now you understand.
There will be an appreciation.
I love your power ranking, Shaka.
Oh, thank you.
And many others and I think that too.
I'm still not going to America.
Our next program, they will ask Shaka about his three models and they want names on the models. I think that is going to be a go out of this.
I've probably even read the models out wrong. All right, Pirelli. With all the talk of Benzema winning the Ballon d'Or, we knew there was a Ballon d'Or question coming. Surely Mane's in serious contention, won the AFCON and League Cup, and can win three more trophies. If Real Madrid crash out of the Champions League and Liverpool win it, is Mane the favourite?
No, he's still not the favourite. I still think Karim Benzema is the favourite. And if indeed you don't want to go in the direction of Karim Benzema, maybe Robert Lewandowski jumps out there. I think there are other names that will jump ahead of Sadio Mane, including Mohamed Salah, his teammate, who, by the way, just won
the Football Writers Association.
Ahead of Sadio Mane, yes.
And they only lost the AFCON final on penalties, right? Jib got to the penalties. I remember that, so I just had to throw it in.
Good. Thank you, Shaq.
Whenever I remember something, I try to mention it.
You got to make sure you put it out there.
Whenever
the beautiful
I remember something.
Working with all those algorithms and the tree models.
Mm-hmm.
Ale, we saw the approach Unai Emery took at Anfield, and he said that in Spain, Liverpool will suffer. What do you think he will change in the second leg, apart from trying to attack more?
Who's going to suffer? Liverpool are going to suffer. I love the job that Unai Emery has done with Villarreal, and I love the achievement of getting to the Champions League semifinal. And that's it. It's over. It's over. They don't have anything that can threaten Liverpool. And because they don't have a threat, they're going to have difficulties, because whenever they do push at some point to try to cut into the lead, Liverpool are going to pick them apart, and it's going to get ugly for Villarreal. The only way that Liverpool suffers is that somehow they get food poisoning or something to that effect.
No,
other than that, there's no suffering for Liverpool.
But having said that, I think that if you saw the first game, I mean, if we try to make a bit excitement for the next game in Villarreal, they created three or four big chances against Bayern Munich. They should have beaten them 3 or 4-0. I mean, I'm not putting Bayern Munich on the level of Liverpool, because Liverpool are unbelievable at the moment, but there is a chance. They could create chances. I don't think they have to trust food poisoning. I think there could be a chance if they get that cliche early goal, because they created more chances in Villarreal than they both did at Allianz Arena and they did at Anfield.
Xhaka, as a former Hammer of the Year, are you going to throw a party for the team on your yacht if West Ham wins the Europa League?
Hashtag
yachtgate.
If West Ham wins Europa League, I am going to buy a yacht and I'm going to throw a party.
First of all.
And Jan is involved. Jan is invited because we need to
get Frankfurt. Go Frankfurt.
Somebody needs to be teased.
I have a feeling that because you said Jan is invited, some of us might not be.
No, you're all invited.
Okay. No, you're going to borrow. You're going to borrow with Stevie.
What about people like Stevie? Is he invited too? Because you know.
No, he can't go to yacht. Kay says.
Yes.
Can't go to yacht.
How are you on yacht, Stevie? How are you on yacht? That's a concern.
How many yachts have you been on, Stevie?
I like keeping my feet on the old terracotta, you know.
Right, welcome. Okay.
Steady, don't. Hey. I know what you're thinking.
Just imagining you like Duran Duran, you know, like in the Rio video. Right. Stevie, who was the most talented player you've ever coached? Oh. Did you buy the player knowing that they had talent, or did they surprise you in training?
Good question.
Well, I guess the obvious one would be Clint Dempsey. Mm. You know, I didn't think, by the time he left, I didn't think he had certain things in him that he was showing. When I took him, he was bothered, you know, everything mattered to him. He was a big boy, he had a good right peg. I certainly didn't see all the subtleties that he in his 3 years with me all of a sudden brought to the table, because I can honestly tell you I didn't see those subtleties when I was scouting. But what a change, you know. And one of the strongest guys mentally I've ever coached as well. Nothing was getting in his way, absolutely nothing. He always wanted to play at the top, and nothing was going to stand in his way.
Right, so if you didn't see the subtleties to begin with, and then he displayed them 3 years after working with you, maybe you're the one with the subtleties, Stevie.
No, listen, I guess, listen.
Hey, I'm supporting Stevie.
No, at the end of the day, you have to give, you know, for young players, you have to give them a platform to get better and all the rest of it. And certainly Paul and I did that, and give him a couple of little bits of encouragement and do this and don't do that. But, you know, the things that came out of him were due to him. You know, people always talk about trying things all the time. Mm. And he was constantly trying things in training. And now and again, he would try and do it in the game, which would annoy us, because he would give it away trying to do, what do you call that, behind the back?
Rabona.
Rabona, stuff like that. And in the wrong place at the wrong time. And that would annoy us, but he was always trying everything constantly.
Is it brilliant though, when you see that when you weren't expecting it, and then you see that ball before your eyes?
Well, you're sitting in the side. So me and Paul would sit in the side like that. We were playing a game. So he scored this goal against Chicago when he did the blanket. You know, Chicago, when they scored a goal, would put this huge flame up, right? And so what he did was he carried on. He had like a towel or something on his back and was rolling around as if he was on fire. But at the time, while he's doing that, Paul and I are sitting like that and we're kind of looking at each other going,
Didn't see that coming. We're like, where did that come from? So, yeah, it's fantastic to watch a young player get better and better. Brilliant.
Nice question, nice answer. All right, to all, who's the one player not in your generation that you would have loved to play alongside? Let your you're ready to answer.
What, Georgie Best? At his best. Oh my goodness. Pardon the pun. Yeah, George Best. Talking about Vinnie Jr., old fashioned, old school. George Best would run past 5 and 6 people at a time. Regularly. Not every now and again, but every time he stepped on the field and scored goals. I mean, he was just brilliant. Brilliant.
Okay.
And he liked a night out as well.
Yeah, he definitely did. And he's got some brilliant, he had brilliant everything. Quotes too. But I won't say some of those.
Diego Armando Maradona. And it's not even close. In terms of not being part of that generation, it is a player that my generation grew up watching in South America and still occupies a very important part in my heart as growing up as a player, a young player watching Maradona play every weekend. He was something special, and the personality was something special too.
Jan?
I will, after they... They're going for the big ones. I will take it not just a bit down, but I played a charity game with Mikael Laudrup. And this was after he had retired many, many years ago. And I would love as a striker to play with Mikael Laudrup. He played in the best clubs, a Danish attacker. And even in a charity game, I didn't know where I was running, but he knew. So he let me have the ball there. So I would love to have played with Mikael Laudrup.
I feel like I should go, as a goalkeeper, I should go for a defender, and I'll go Junior from Brazil. I don't think they come any better.
Ah, nice. Good question. Yeah. Nice stuff.
Socrates was also special.
Oh, he was.
Yeah.
Man, he was a free spirit.
That wasn't a bad team, by the way.
No, it was not. Free spirit. That guy could play.
Oh, man. We've got all in all.
Got all misty-eyed now and nostalgic.
Free spirit. We've got all fuzzy.
Free spirit. He was.
Yeah.
You're a 70s boy here. Yeah, man.
What an emotional
set. Hey, man. Free spirit. Man.
I was trying to say that you were a great coach. That you,
yeah, is that right?
That you added value to Quinn Dempsey's career. And then this is what I get.
You've been unsupportive when he's old. It's great to see you.
Can you just tell me how they react when you come with this Stevie Nicol to Middlesbrough? Can you just tell me how they react, please?
Well, I think they'd love it. We're gonna get hometown hospitality. We're gonna have a ball. Yeah. We're gonna go and look
as
at
always.
Tickets now. Hopefully for the Premier League.
Go McNeil's.
It's not there anymore, Ian. We'll find somewhere else to go and have a night out, though. Chatting you all about the Northeast nightlife. Anyway, that's all we've got time for on the latest edition of Extra Time. Please be sure to always check us out on ESPN FC.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.